Well, it's wonderful to be here with you all again. This week we're going to look at the spiritual discipline of study. You know, we've all at some point in our lives studied, be it at school, college, or university. We've faced the dreaded exams. And to get us prepared for those, we've usually have to study and study quite hard. And to some people, it's very easy, or they seem to make it so. We've all met the classmate, haven't we, who's somehow has the ability to retain copious amounts of information while we struggle to retain information and revise. And we continue to revise, and then we get into the exam room, and then we just go, and it's our minds go blank, don't we? You know, I struggled at school. I failed my 11 plus. For those of you who remember the 11 plus, I failed it miserably, I have to say. Yet I caught up in my later teens when they did away with secondary modern schools. I soon found myself in the same class as those who had passed their 11 plus. You see, the people who struggle and find it, some find it hard to concentrate, some dislike reading, some are easily distracted, bored, quickly bored, some lack self-control. They are perhaps like this picture. I hope that will come up on the screen. When you're bored and you simply can't find anything to do, start studying. Yes, study. Because your brain will immediately recognize a situation and will automatically start to search for things to replace studying. Study is a discipline in life, in academia, and it's no less for the Christian in his walk in the Christian life. You know, we're given several examples from God's word of individuals who studied. We go back into the Old Testament, into the book of Ezra. We read this: Ezra devoted himself to the study and the observance of the law of the Lord. Here we see that study requires devotion, study requires dedication. Ezra committed himself to do this. And from this devotion came the ability to teach others the law and the commands of God. So study can prepare us for responsibility in teaching. Solomon was another one who studied what God had done on the earth. In his great book in Ecclesiastes, he says this: I applied my mind to study, to explore by wisdom all that God had done under the heavens. Here's another requirement for study: not only devotion, not only dedication, but application. Solomon applied his mind to study and to explore. And of course, we know that Solomon had unequaled wisdom in his time. We know that he was given the gift of wisdom above all other people on the earth at that time. But later on, he would, in the course of time, he would write this in Ecclesiastes at the end of the book. He would say this: of the making of many books, there is no end, and much study wearies the body. Well, we know the first to be true. Google estimates that there's 130 million books in the world today, which is probably a guesstimate. But the second point is really a word to the wise. Many who have applied themselves to serious study know something of this weariness. Weariness. You know, I was physically ill when I did my A levels, and I failed them. Notice the pattern here: 11 plus failed, A levels failed. But when I did my dissertation for my degree, I thought I was hallucinating. Words started to jump out at the computer screen as I was typing. You see, my mind had become weary with study. I'd done that much study that as I was typing my dissertation, these words began to jump out, and I thought I was losing it. So we need wisdom. We need wisdom in study. We need wisdom not to wear ourselves out as we apply and study the Word of God. You know, one of the great verses in the New Testament says this. Paul was writing to Timothy, and he said to Timothy, his son in the faith, he said, "Study to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." Warren Wisby, one of my favorite authors, says this word study has nothing to do with books or teachers. It means to be diligent, be zealous. It's translated in the same way in 2 Timothy 4 and also in Titus. And the emphasis in this paragraph is that the Christian is like a workman. He's like a workman. He needs to be diligent. He needs to be diligent in his labours in serving God so that when his work's inspected, he won't be ashamed. And this word here, rightly dividing or correctly handling the word of truth, it means to cut straight. So it's a bit like the farmer in a field who ploughs a furrow, or it's like the joiner who's sawing a piece of wood. I don't know about you. When I was at school and I did woodwork, I used to dread cutting a piece of wood because inevitably as I start to saw, my saw would start to go off. And the idea behind here is that they that divide the word of truth, apply it, it's like cutting a straight line. An approved worker cuts a straight line with the word of God, and he seeks to apply it to his own life. And that's why study is important as a Christian discipline for the Christian. You know, Richard Foster, in his book Celebration of Discipline, which we are basing these talks on, he says this. He says, you know, we can sing with great gusto. You know, we can pray in the spirit. We can have ecstatic visions and revelations of God and yet remain unchanged because we neglect one of the most central ways that God uses to change us, study. The discipline of study is necessary for the Christian. We should come to Scripture to be changed as we study, not just to amass information. When we study the great truths of God's Word, we see revelation. God's Word is revealed to us. We come to it in the light of that revelation. As we read it, as we apply it to our lives, we should be changed and transformed. Richard Foster says it's a word and a command that should change us into his likeness. And in his book, he gives us four aids to discipline our minds as we study the Word of God. And hopefully they'll come up there. And the four aids are repetition, concentration, comprehension, and reflection. And these aids help us as we come to the Word of God. Repetition, you know, perhaps it's not in vogue in these days in education. I don't know. I don't really know much about schools. I'm getting on a little bit now these days. But a good deal of my early education was repetition. Who remembers their times table? 1, 2 is 2. 2, 2 is 4. 3, 2. We practiced it endlessly, didn't we? And as I reflected on this, I thought back, and I was amazed how much I could remember learning my times table through repetition. You see, it channels the mind into a specific direction. It ingrains a thought pattern so that we remember things. You know, it's thought that you don't even need to believe what you're repeating. You just keep on repeating it, and the mind becomes trained. Now, these can be both negative and positive. On the negative side, the issue of TV programming is quite pertinent, actually. With innumerable negative behaviours kind of portrayed on primetime TV, computer games that kids play, it's a real concern for younger viewers that negative patterns can lead to destructive thought patterns, and this is a concern. Who remembers Crime Watch on TV? It was said that when people watch Crime Watch, that the fear of crime became very prevalent in over half of the people who watched it, and about a third of them were terrified of what might happen. And of course, we all remember Nick Ross, don't we? He would always use that favourite quote at the end of the programme and say, don't have nightmares, sleep peacefully or sleep well, yes. And you know, because there was this negative response to that programme, which led people to think that crime was happening all the time, everywhere, and that it was just going to visit you that night. But positively, scripture memorization is extremely beneficial and can be used on many occasions, as the Holy Spirit will often bring it back to the mind at appropriate times in our lives. I did all my scripture memorization, I have to say, when I was a lot younger. Not that we shouldn't remember scripture now. But, you know, that Holy Spirit can use that in an amazing way. We can be talking with people. We can be sharing our faith. Or we can be dealing with a situation that's in a person's life. And suddenly the word of God that we've remembered will come into our mind. And the Holy Spirit will use it and he will speak into that person's life. And it might be life transforming and changing for them. The Lord's Prayer. I remember the Lord's Prayer through school assembly. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And that's where we've learned it. I even remember the books of the Bible as a chorus that we used to sing in Sunday school. Who remembers it? Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, the Acts and the Romans, Corinthians, and so on and so on. Remember, yes, repetition is important. Concentration. When we concentrate on what's being studied, our learning is greatly increased. It senses the mind, focuses the mind. The ability of the brain apparently is enhanced when we center our attention upon a specific object of study. The brain has an amazing ability to concentrate. But what is the enemy of concentration? Distraction. We know that we all suffer from that from time to time. We perhaps study. We have our mobile phone by our side. We have our tablet. We hear a ping. Switch it over. And before long, you know, we spend 10 or 15 minutes looking at our phone. We're completely distracted. This causes for another area of discipline. Put the phone away. Switch it off. It's a lesson I have to learn myself. The third area, comprehension. The third area, to understand what we study. To understand what we study. We can repeat endlessly. We can concentrate on the subject at hand. But we need to be able to comprehend what we're reading or what we're studying. Repetition and concentration can be steps to lead to this third area. But comprehension focuses on the knowledge of the truth with insight and discernment. Comprehension of spiritual truth requires the operation of the Holy Spirit. Paul, when he was writing to the Corinthian church, explains why the non-Christian cannot or fails to apprehend the truth of Scripture. He or she is governed by an unregenerated heart. They need the new birth spoken of in John chapter 3. Earlier, Paul reminds the Corinthian church that the gospel that had come to them didn't come with human wisdom. And its message was foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who believe, it is the power of God. And we know that to be true, don't we? We share our faith with someone, and they think you're mad. They think you're bonkers sometimes. Others may say, and this has often been said to us as a couple of people that we speak to, they say, I wish I had faith like you. I wish I had a faith to believe like you have. Somehow they cannot grasp it. As Paul says, they cannot understand it. Scripture and spiritual truth are spiritually discerned. They need the illumination of the Holy Spirit so that they can comprehend the truth of God's word. Repetition, concentration, comprehension, reflection. Reflection defines the significance of what we are studying. In that sense, it can be said to be more devotional. We reflect, we ruminate, we cogitate on the scripture that comes to our mind. Suddenly we begin to see things as God sees. We see it from God's perspective on our lives. So these four aids can help us in our study. But we can also ask the further question, why should we study? Why should we study? When Jesus left, he gave his disciples and us a great commission. Part of that commission was this, to go and teach other disciples to observe all that he had commanded. And we've touched on this already, haven't we? Part of why we study is to teach truth and the commands of Jesus to others. But this also encompasses the whole Bible, Genesis to Revelation. Paul reminds the Corinthians again that what he taught was the commands of the Lord. All that Jesus did and taught was based upon the Old Testament. So part of why we study is to teach the whole counsel of God as revealed in the Bible to others. So Ezra, when he studied, it was to teach others the commands of the Lord. So whether we teach adults or whether we teach children or young people, then we need to study. We need to study to teach effectively. Secondly, we study to engender our Christian maturity. Surely, studying God's word helps us to grow as Christians. The more we know as we study, the more we have confidence in the promises of God and what his commands are for our lives. And we begin to understand the inheritance as Christians that we've come into. And again, we look to please God by our study of his word. So we learn to be obedient and we learn to do it again. Again, we've touched on this already, haven't we? Paul's letter to Timothy, study or show your best. Study or show your best so that the workman, a Christian workman, as we all should be, is approved, serving the Lord. These are teachings and truths that accord with godliness, as Paul reminds us in his first letter to Timothy. But it's not only to teach, it's not only to engender our Christian maturity as we grow up, but it helps us to make right decisions as well. Helps us to make right decisions and overcome any wrong ideas that we may have in God's word. Studying God's word gives us wisdom to make right and important decisions in our lives. It doesn't give us the answer to every specific area of our lives, every avenue that we walk down, but it does decide for us between right and a wrong path. We make the choice and we live with the consequences. You know, I once quoted Psalm 1:1 in one of my prayer letters. You know, I send my prayer letters out every 2 months. I once quoted Psalm 1:1 and I spoke very briefly about the right and wrong choice in someone's life. And, you know, Psalm 1:1 says this, blessed is the man who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers. And after I'd sent out a few days later, I got an email from a lady and she said, hi Dave, I just want to tell you something. I live on a small budget. I run a very old car. It gets me to church, gets me to my craft groups, but it's costing me more and more. I'm struggling a little bit for the upkeep. And recently, I found out that as I was traveling, rain started to come in through the window screen. So when I went to the garage, they told me that it was going to be quite expensive to repair. In fact, more expensive than the car was worth. So I was in a bit of a dilemma what to do. Then some of my family and the garage themselves advised that they could smash the window screen and I could claim it on the insurance. And she said, on reflection, she said, at first it seemed a very good idea and I thought it'll get me out of the problem because I need the car. She said, but on further reflection, it didn't feel comfortable to believe one thing and then to do another. Sometimes It's a lonely place to walk with God against well-meaning family and friends. Therefore, I found your quote on Psalm 1:1 very timely and a reminder and confirmation of my decision. So a big thank you. Well, she doesn't really have to thank me. It's the word of God, isn't it? It's the word of God in our lives that teaches us to make a right decision for good or for bad. And, you know, and we can be blessed by making that right decision. But studying also helps us overcome wrong ideas about God too. You know, I guess if there was no sin in the world, I guess if we had no sin in our hearts and in our lives, then we could read God's word, the Bible, and we would only really find truths about God all the time that are correct and right. We wouldn't rebel or refuse to accept anything we found written there, that we found it very difficult and hard to agree with. And we've all perhaps travelled down that road at some point in our life, that there's something in the word of God that we found very difficult to accept. Like, we can't understand why, you know, why should a whole nation be destroyed? Why should innocent children be killed and slaughtered? What about the doctrine of hell? Why would God choose to send people to a lost eternity? And these perhaps are difficult areas in our lives, but getting down to some serious study, comparing scripture with scripture, comparing the views of other scholars and Bible teachers, enables us to find some possible answers to difficult questions. And then this leads us on actually to a further aspect of study. Not just why we should study, not just why we should study, but how. How should we study? How should we study God's word? Well, firstly, really has to do with our demeanour, how we approach the word of God as we come to it. And we should come to the area of the study of God's word with humility and with prayer. You know, if we start out studying the word of God with a critical or a doubting spirit, as James reminds us, those who doubt are like the waves of the sea, blown and tossed about by every thought. We shouldn't expect that person should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. But rather, the psalmist gives us a wonderful picture. He says this, a wonderful model for us to adopt. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things from out of your law. That's the spirit we should come to God's word when we study it, when we get down to study. But the second aspect of all of this has to do with the practical side of when we come to God's word to study it. We need to understand the scripture. What's the author saying when he writes the word of God to us? What's the immediate context? Of course, we have to remember in the first instance, the writer is speaking to his immediate audience as well as to ourselves. He's writing in the present day when he's writing. And we need to remember this, that when we come to scripture, a text taken out of context leads to a pretext. A text taken out of context leads to a pretext. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means a pretext is a reason given in justification of a course of action that is not the real reason why the scripture is given. So, for example, I come to the word of God, I open it, and I read, as so often some of us used to do, we open the Bible, and I open the Bible, I come to it, and I read this. Judas went out and hung himself. I turn to another scripture and I read, go and do likewise. Well, of course, we know that's nonsense. But we need to understand the scripture and we need to interpret the scripture, which is the second part. What does the scripture mean? Again, the immediate context first before the application. We have to be careful about rushing to the application stage, what it means for me, and bypassing the interpretation stage. And that's often the difference between study, interpretation, and devotion. application. You know, often people want to know what it means for them before they know what it means. Who has quoted that great verse in Jeremiah 29, verse 11? "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord." How many people know what the immediate context of why Jeremiah wrote that scripture? Well, of course, it was to Israel, who were coming out of 70 years of exile. And it was the promise, a wonderful promise, that God had great plans for them when that would happen. Richard Foster reminds us that we need to be controlled by the intent of the author. What is he saying? We need to hear what he's actually saying, not what we want him to say. The application should be life transforming, not just a good feeling. Finally, we've thought about why we study and how we study. When should we study? Richard Foster says this, that the most difficult problem is not finding time, but convincing myself that it's important enough to set that time aside. Especially if we have a busy life, especially if we're working full time, especially if we're raising a family, even legitimate church activity can be used as an excuse not to study the Word of God. Yes, setting a time aside to study is very hard. And in one sense, it's an entirely personal thing as well. For we are all different and we are all individual. So set time aside that accords with your personal life. If you're a morning person, then it's obvious that the best time to concentrate, to comprehend, to repeat is not going to be in the morning. If you're an evening person, then evening, use it appropriately. Secondly, minimize distraction. Like we said before, if you're attached to your new technology, turn it off or remove it as you study. Ideally, and if possible, remove yourself away from your home environment. I know that's not always practicable, but it can be beneficial. If you get away in isolation somewhere, you can fix, you can focus, you can study what you're set your mind to do. So then, let's just go back over these things. Repetition. Repetition, concentration, comprehension, reflection. Aids to our mind as we study the Word of God. Why should we study? To teach others, to mature in our Christian faith, and to help us to make right decisions and to overcome wrong ideas that we have about the Word of God or about God or truth of Scripture. How should we study? Well, with prayer, humility, as we come to God's Word, allowing it to mould our lives. As we come, not only in humility and prayer, but practically to understand what the Scripture says, to interpret it correctly, to apply it into our lives. And when should we study? Making time, because we believe it's important to do so. We make time because we believe it's important to do so. We minimize distraction, and we find the right time and the right place according to our personal circumstances. I just pray that those very simple thoughts will aid us this morning as we come and as we study the Word of God, which is implicit on all of us who say that we are followers of the Lord Jesus and Christian. Amen.